Phil Hofstetter, the floor is yours.
Thank you. Phil Hofstetter, Peterborough Medical Center CEO. I submitted my report in the packet. Three things that I'd like to maybe add on that are not in the report. The first is, for the record, I'd like to echo Tim Shumway's testimony on supporting House Bill 78. I'll be writing a letter in support of that as well. Certainly, you've seen for the defined benefit, huge retention compared to other areas in Alaska. So something I'm certainly going to support. Secondly, MRI is still pending. We heard from the state that they have until the 23rd. So again, it's just been very delayed from my standpoint, but we expect in the next couple of weeks to hear a response from the state. So looking forward to that. And then lastly, the Rural Health Transformation Funds, we are still pending and waiting for that as well. So my understanding was over 1,800 applications or letters of interest were submitted and a request of over $2.5 billion. The Community Foundation is the fiscal agent for that and is going to be, I assume, is working really hard on working through that. So we submitted, I believe, seven letters of interest in the order of $11 million. So I assume that we'll not be getting all of that, having all the applications going forward. But we look forward to hearing back on what we did receive, if anything. And then I guess one last thing is I want to thank the Assembly and the City Manager for Congressman Begich's visit. It was very successful. I did have a chance to follow up with him when I was in D.C., and it was a really positive experience for him to tour our facility. We did submit appropriations requests and applications for Congressman Begich and also Senator Murkowski's office.
Excellent.
Updates. Thank you.
Any questions for Phil? Thanks so much, Phil. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Director Case, if you're ready, love to hear from you. Ranger Case, my apologies.
All right. Yeah, thank you guys. And for folks that don't know me, my name is Carrie Case. I am the district ranger here in Petersburg for the Forest Service. We're getting close to our office move. We're hoping May 12th that our network will be on and the contractor will be at a place where we can start working from the building. So we'll be moving our things from the 3 Mile office to downtown where we'll open our doors, we're hoping by the 14th, maybe earlier depending on how that goes. So we're looking forward to being back downtown, that's for sure. We are holding a forest plan public meeting next Thursday here in the Assembly Chambers, and that'll be from 5 to 7 in the evening. So we are revising our forest plan, which kind of is our rule book for how we comply with all the other laws, environmental laws out there, and how we conduct business on the forest. So if you're interested in hearing where we're at the process and would like to comment, please attend. And if you can't attend, there is a QR code so you can provide input remotely. So I did confirm that we are looking at the Woodpecker Road mainline, which is, I know, a topic of great interest to folks that like to use that road. We are looking at a pretty significant amount of construction and hopefully redoing a lot of the drainage features and the surface of that road in 2027. So I know folks, it's hard on your rig, and we're aware of that, and I think we have a contract in place to hopefully take care of the entirety of the main line out at Woodpecker. Along with that, I know we've talked about it, but just so the public knows, we will have a road grading contract going into effect this summer on Metcalf Island, so a lot of our highly used roads outside of the Woodpecker Road will be being graded and hopefully getting rid of a lot of potholes. And additionally, the new cabin construction that's slated for Woodpecker Cove or just past Woodpecker Cove will hopefully be beginning this summer. We just looked at bids. I think we're close to award, and we should see that being started this summer and hopefully completed at the end of the year or early into the next year. Out the road, we're starting to be able to access some places we haven't been able to get to. There are some frozen outhouse issues, just FYI. If you are at Banana Point, and there's a reason why you can't use the outhouse right now. It is frozen solid. We're hoping to see that change and that it can be back into public service soon. So just an FYI on that. We're starting to begin our spring cabinet maintenance and wood runs now that the weather is getting a little bit better. And our West Point cabin contract, so the West Point cabin's currently closed, will begin on the 17th of this month. It needs some pretty major foundation work as well as roof support work, and that's going to start on the 17th. And currently, the period of performance looks like it'll take about a month, and then that hopefully will be back open to the public. So that's all I have. Any questions for me?
Questions? Member Meachy, go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you for the report, Carrie.
Sure.
Can you explain a little bit about the news we heard a couple of years, weeks ago with Senator Murkowski about the move to the office in Utah and what that means to some of the scientific work in the offices in Alaska?
Yeah, it feels like years.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was just last week, I think. Yeah, what I can say, it probably will be along the lines of what Senator Murkowski said in the news piece that I think KCA had on the radio last week, is as far as Alaska, I think the significant reduction in staffing has occurred. It occurred last year. As far as what will happen to, say, the Juno lab, there is a forest science lab in Juno, and the regional office there, I think the my understanding of what's going to happen in Alaska is they will maintain what they're calling now a state office in Alaska. What exactly will be the function of the state office, I'm not sure. I'd be speculating at this point. So I think there will be some staff there. The regional office has lost a significant number of staff already through either probationary workers or, you know, early retirements incentives that were offered last year by the federal government. As far as the lab, somewhat speculation from my understanding of what I've read is that there's no plans to close it at this point. As far as what's occurring, yeah, in the rest of the you know, down south forests, I would say that we've been, as an agency, given some pretty broad ideas of where we may be going with the reorganization in the future, but no specifics at this point, so.
Great, thank you very much.
Yep.
Anything else for Carrie? Thanks so much, Carrie,
okay.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Now we will have Superintendent Robin Taylor will provide a report on district activities. The floor is yours, Robin.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. I'm Robin Taylor, the superintendent for the Pierce-Burg School District. A few things to talk about. As a reminder to families, this coming Friday, there is no school for elementary only. The elementary teachers will be having an in-service day, but there is school in session for the middle and high school students. We have a lot of activities occurring. It is springtime, so hopefully some folks were able to come up to the gym this weekend and watch the Native Youth Olympics middle school and high school showcase. It was really fun to see everything that's involved with the Native Youth Olympics. We also have baseball going on, track is going on, middle school volleyball is hosting a tournament this weekend. Our musicians just got back from Music Fest, and our artists are heading to Haines this weekend for the Region 5 Art Fest. So we still are an incredibly active school community. In the middle of all that, this is the month for the Alaska STAR, the state testing that occurs. We are almost complete at the middle and high school level, just a few makeups to do, and then elementary is gearing up. I believe next week is when they will be in full swing of their state testing. Then, Steve, would you mind holding up that red flip chart? I just want to share with the community that thanks to Erica Klute-Painter, she had this work in progress started, but these are what we call our red flip charts. They're emergency plans that are located now in every room in the school district. They just highlight for the adult in charge in the room in the event that something happens. It's a quick what to do, how to respond. It is not certainly not all-encompassing, but it at least helps cover a broad range of what to do if we have a student with medical emergency, or if you hear that we have an earthquake, that there's a page for each action that tends to happen. Knock on wood, hopefully not at all for us, but it just gives guidance for that first and initial response to happen before we're able to really gather the resources and take over. So So those have been distributed. Parks and Rec, excuse me, also has several copies, and then I brought copies for our police department and fire department just to at least give an idea of if we're dealing with a situation, how we're responding in the heat of the moment. Also this week on Wednesday afternoon, between 4 and 6 o'clock p.m., the police department will be hosting an active shooter threat training, not a real thing, but the training at Stedman Elementary School from 4 to 6 p.m. again on Wednesday, April 15th. So every time we have the opportunity to practice, it just helps our school district and our community at large better respond to crisis situations. And then the last thing I just wanted to share is that the defined benefit resolution that the borough is looking at passing today, the school board did pass that at its March meeting, excuse me. So the school district is in support of the language as it was written, not with the amendment that was put forth this last week. And also our superintendent's group across the state of Alaska is in support of the language as it was originally written. So do you have any questions that I can answer?
For Robin? Thanks so much, Robin.
Okay, thank you. Have a great day.
Brings us to item D, a SEPA report. SEPA Chairman Bob Lynn and alternate board member Hagerman will provide a report. And since Bob Lynn is not here, that is you. Director Hagerman, floor is yours, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Happy to read these notes from the March 26th SEPA meeting in Ketchikan. The board did approve a Cleveland Peninsula transmission line brushing contract. Keeping the power lines clear of trees and brush is an ongoing effort. Every year, the agency contracts to brush and clear a certain mileage of the line. This year, Gig Harbor Tree Service was awarded this work at a cost of $395,000. Also, a contract to replace two wooden power structures near Ketchikan was approved. These structures are not adjacent to an access road, unfortunately, and require a heavy lift helicopter to be available to remove the old poles and set the new ones. The work will be accomplished during the summer maintenance shutdown this year, and EPC, the line contractor from Anchorage, was awarded that work for $217,000. During the fall and winter this last year, during the season, a small portion of the road between the Swan Lake Powerhouse and Swan Lake Dam did slough as a result of heavy rainfall. They got 18 inches of rain over 3.5 days, caused some problems out there. So we approved a new project to fix that portion of the road, and the budget for that work was set at $380,000. Lots of water in the lakes. It was a good water year last year, continues to be this spring. So plenty of water for power production this summer. We will have a special board meeting on April 28th to consider some contracts that were in negotiations as of the last meeting. The board did direct our chair to finalize a new contract with the CEO, so that should be up for approval at the next regular meeting. SEPA staff reported on various projects, including the TAI FERC license amendment for the third turbine. The TAI and Swan Lake relicensing, their license are up in a few years, and they're starting on those. Ketchikan substation project, also on the list. Wrangell reliability and stability project. TAI third turbine, of course. TAI Lake crew housing was recently refurbished, and lots of in-house work accomplished by the SEPA crews. And in future meetings, the board has decided to talk about SEPA's investment policy, reservoir management issues, and reviewing the financing stack for the third turbine at TAI.
Anything else?
That's it.
Questions for Director Hagerman? Director Hagerman, thank you for your report. Much appreciated, sir. I will not skip over Clerk Regula. The floor is yours.
Thank you, Vice Mayor Stanton-Gregor. I just wanted to take the opportunity to thank the Assembly for rescheduling last week's meeting to today so that Deputy Clerk Glass and I could attend the Human Resources Training in Anchorage. The education opportunity and the networking was invaluable. Meeting with other human resource professionals and talking to them about their processes was great. So thanks again.
Glad you guys were able to go. All right. That'll bring us down to the mayor's report. Let's see. Ooh, I need to get some stronger glasses. All right. 2026 cruise ship season. Petersburg is preparing for the upcoming cruise ship season with 88 scheduled ports. Port calls anticipated from four different cruise ship companies. Thank you to the Harbor Master and Harbor staff for their efforts in planning, scheduling, and coordinating the upcoming season. Sexual Assault Awareness Month Proclamation. April is recognized nationally as Sexual Assault Awareness Month. The attached proclamation affirms the borough's support for survivors, promotes awareness of sexual violence, and encourages community education and prevention efforts. Similarly, Child Abuse Awareness Month Proclamation. April is also Child Abuse Awareness Month. The attached proclamation recognizes the importance of protecting children, raising awareness of child abuse and neglect, and supporting prevention advocacy efforts within the community. Although this is not on the mayor's report, I'm going to shoehorn two other things in there. One, just a formal recognition of Viking Travel and their award they received for Business of the Year. Congratulations to you and your family. Yep, and really appreciate all you do for the community. And also, a professional recognition of Principal Heather Kahn. Heather Kahn, besides being an amazing principal and administrator, boss, if you will, is also a human full of deep compassion. And I've heard some stories over the last couple of weeks of just how above and beyond she's gone to help families who might be struggling. And she goes the extra, not just mile, but 100 miles. So if you see Principal Heather Kahn out there, give her a big thank you because she's awesome. And with that, I'll pass it to the borough manager for the manager's report.
Thank you, sir. Carl's been leading the team with working with Dawson Construction after receiving the 65% design quote for the Scow Bay 2 generator project. And it's basically reviewing the planning as well as understanding its impact on our available budget. Unfortunately, the price tag came in higher. They've gone through the process of trying to reduce costs, but it's likely the utility will need to request authorization from the assembly and local voters to secure funding for the completion of the project. Power and Light has also been working with Alaska Marine Lines to help prepare for the replacement of their transformer. And the Main Street Lighting purchase order has been sent and drawings are being reviewed for release to production. We anticipate receiving materials and begin the installation by late summer. Training of new operators at the plant has been progressing well leading up to the June 2026 SEPA plan shutdown. This is why you can hear the generators running on Wednesday mornings. We get calls about that all the time. This is for training purposes so that our guys can get used to it. David Mazzella is expected to finish his lineman apprenticeship in less than a month. We've had one of the other linemen submit their resignation. We'll start the recruiting process in several weeks. With spring weather approaching, we're preparing for what looks to be a very busy season at Power and Light, including works on new subdivisions, upgrade projects, new construction, power line extensions, power plant improvements, and the continued normal operations. Streets crew have completed their refresher training and renewed certifications in asbestos abatement and hazardous material. Spring cleanup and street sweeping operations have commenced. If it stopped snowing long enough for us to get ahead. Sorry, had to throw that in. Over the past 2 weeks, motor pool staff have focused on apprentice training, preventative maintenance, and minor repairs to snow removal equipment. Additional efforts include completing smaller projects, performing comprehensive equipment repairs, and converting the plow equipment for aggregate handling in preparation for the upcoming construction season. The annual household hazardous waste event is tentatively scheduled for June 6th to the 7th. Residential customers will be eligible to dispose of up to 220 pounds of oil, paints, solvents, and related materials at no cost. Additional information will be provided as the date gets closer. Building maintenance staff have constructed and installed new display cases at the public library. A glycol pump supporting the library's heated sidewalk system has been replaced, and plumbing repairs at the jail have been completed. Wastewater staff are completing lab painting, organization, and reconfiguration to accommodate the new equipment. Progress at Pump Station 4 has been impacted by weather conditions. However, key milestones have been achieved, including the generator exhaust modifications, transfer switch commissioning, and establishing communication between the treatment plant and the pump station. Certificates of approval to operate the dams have been received for the City Creek and Cabin Creek reservoirs. Design work for the new Clearwell is currently underway and progressing as planned. Library invites the assembly and community to attend the Friends of the Library's 25th anniversary celebration on April 21st, 2026, from 12 to 2 in the Helmy Jensen Community Room. The event will honor Don Nelson for his contributions to preserving local history and celebrate Chris Rice's retirement after years of dedicated library service. Rockin' Road has been working on the end of Sea Float, replacing the outer whalers under the UHMW rub rail. Jimmy Martinson reported that each concrete panel the heavy wood whaler had cracked and broken, he assumes, from years of large wakes hitting the outer float and breaking down the swell to the inner harbor. Rockin' Road did similar work on the Petro float system at the same time last week, and the harbor is having him inspect the Kestrel float for similar future maintenance. The mayor, manager, and harbor master met with several members of the U.S. Coast Guard who are developing a report on the location for the new buoy tender when it is available. We used the opportunity to discuss the future Scow Bay Harbor and the ability of the borough to work through their needs. I've continued to work with our federal lobbyists on the borough's CDS or earmark requests. For FY 2027, the following CDS CPF request on behalf of the borough have been submitted to Senator Murkowski and Representative Begich: the Hospital Long-Term Care Center construction, the Children's Center construction, Army Corps General Investigations at Scow Bay, and Papke Landing and the cold storage facility upgrades. Carl Stephen Harbor and I met with Stephanie to go over the Aquatic Center sewer project. There continues to be a concern on our part about the cost of the project and cost increases due to the complexity of the project. Stephanie is working with all parties involved in the bid to work out ways to reduce costs on the project. Orion Associates has agreed to work with our staff on updating the borough's standard specifications, which has not been reviewed since 2012. The mayor has requested us to start on the roads portion of the specifications if the assembly approves the cost in the supplemental budget. That last part is not true. We have already had the funding, so I don't have to come to you for approval on that. But if you have questions about the standard specifications and the changes, please give me a call or come by. Parks and Rec supported the WAVES promotion of Child Abuse Prevention Month with a special Go Blue Skate Night on April 10th. And we would like to thank Rockies Marine Search and Rescue and Petersburg Volunteer Fire Department for their assistance with our boating safety course on April 4th. Stephanie is co-instructing with the Office of Boating Safety and AMC personnel to promote safe boating and handling emergency situations. And that's it, unless there's questions.
Questions for the manager. Member Mucci.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Back to the Aquatic Center sewer project.
Yeah.
Can we expand a little bit on that? Is that going to be a project that we're not really going to know what it is until we start digging? Or what are you thinking? Thank you.
So the project is, we started having sewer leaks, smells, bad things happening primarily on the Aquatic Center underneath the bathrooms and around the bathrooms. We noticed it several years ago. We got an engineer in here to take a look at it and see what the project was going to be all about. Basically, the sewer lines have collapsed over time as dirt has washed out from underneath the building. The sewer lines were not supported well, and they've collapsed. So we have problems throughout the Aquatic Center related to that, similar to what happened many years ago in the community center. So the engineer worked with a contractor to try to figure out that there's two different ways to go about fixing it. One was to fix it from underneath, tunnel underneath the building. The other was to come in from the top. The decision was made to come in from the top. It would be easier. It's a saw cut and move from there. Part one of the challenges is we can't find the as-builts. They don't seem to have existed. And what that means is where exactly other pipes and electrical conduit is in the building. So there's a fear that when you start cutting into something, we're going to cut more than just what we want to cut. So Stephanie's been working with the contractor and the engineer trying to find a radar, ground-penetrating radar system that can actually show us depth as well as locations of some of the pipes, so we can at least avoid cutting some of the big ones. And that includes conduit with electric power. So, you know, clearly we'll have to be cutting power off to the building while some of that's done. The cost keeps going up every time we ask about it, so it's not really my favorite topic. We met with the Stephanie met with the contractor, and we met together with Steve Harbor and Carl to talk through what are some options, and we'll keep doing that until the project's done. But it's, you know, we're up over $1.1 million at this point for that project, and we don't know. Okay.
All right, thank you. So.
Steve, further questions for the manager? Member Martin.
Steve, what can you tell me a little more about the borough standards? What roads, other things?
Yes, sir, through the mayor.
Of course.
The standard borough specifications is a tool that we use to outline how roads are built, how culverts, pretty much anything construction related, other than building permits. It talks about how what we expect. So if somebody wants to build a road, here's how you build the road. If you want to build a subdivision, here's how you're supposed to do some of the construction side of that. Contractors use it to bid out jobs, to be honest with you. They look at that and say, okay, what's expected by the borough? And here's how it, what they need to include in any bids that they do. The road piece is critical because forever we've had a pretty stout road where we, if you want to build a road, you got to dig it out to hardpan, backfill with rock, and go from there. And there's specifications on how wide the easement has to be, how wide the road has to be based on the type of the road. And those are some examples. Mayor has suggested that we come up with a different standard for out the road. I don't know. That'll have to come back in front of the assembly, by the way, once the standards are rewritten, if indeed they are. Any changes to that document has to be approved by the assembly. So I'll just set that up first. But, you know, Bob, when he went to Juneau, met with Senator Stedman's office as well as spoke to someone at the Mental Health Authority about what it would take to get the South Mitkoff subdivision off the work and start working on it. And they said they're willing to do everything we asked, the prior assembly asked for. The one exception is they want us to reduce the road standards. And they haven't really said what they want it reduced to, and we're not saying what we'll agree to, but we did agree to look at it and see if there's. So we're going to talk with Rock and Road and Reed Brothers and, you know, Alan and Murph and Susan Harai about, you know, what do they know? Is there ways to reduce the standards of those roads, particularly outside service area one, but without getting into a mess where the roads are not, you know, come apart. So it's a controversial issue even internally where, you know, we know that if those roads are built to standard, they last better and the maintenance is less. But on the other hand, contractors have a heck of a time meeting those standards and making their projects come in on budget because it's so expensive. The muskeg basically makes a big mess when it comes to roads. So, did I somewhat answer your question?
Absolutely. So I noticed further on in the agenda with the sale of those two properties to 13 rentals, there was a page on the utility. Does it, the water line and stuff, is it really stuff like that too?
Yes, it does include, you know, how, where water lines are put, the size of the easement. I mean, all, Carl or Aaron, you want to add to it? I mean, I'm trying to hit all the highlights, but I mean.
Through the mayor, I think you did a great job explaining what the document is. It's basically how we build our infrastructure in Petersburg. You know, water lines, sewer lines, storm drain, roads, all of that goes into this document. So we have a standard that that we go by moving forward with various projects.
Thank you. Any other questions for the manager? Seeing none, there is no unfinished business. Before we move on to new business, without objection, we'll take a 5-minute break. Whatever the stretch of their legs, and we'll gavel back in promptly at 1:20.